This is the Morning Crossfire on 92.3 Nigeria Info.
Yes, indeed, it is the Morning Crossfire. Welcome back. I'm Sam Oracle Chinedu. Beautiful song there, all the way from East Africa, by an artist titled Zuchu, titled Hasara. I looked up the meaning of the word Hasara because I like to know what I'm singing. One translation states it means loss. Another says it means laughter. I'm not quite sure what to believe, but judging by the tone of that piece of music, it sounds quite emotional. So I'm guessing loss works. But I love the song. Welcome back. What is on the table this morning? I like to claim that we have important conversations. Some of us like to state that Nigeria Info has Port Harcourt's biggest conversation. Whatever we claim, that is nothing short of the truth. And we back it, yes indeed, with action. Well, this morning, the River State government is seeking approval of 200 billion Naira supplementary budget. Yes indeed. It is seeking to add that amount into the appropriation law for 2023. And it has passed first reading on the floor of the River State House of Assembly. This comes after the River State Governor, Simulai Fubara, forwarded the supplementary appropriation bill request to the House for legislative approval. The bill contained in the letter was read by Speaker of the House, Martin Amehule. Ms. Amehule said the supplementary appropriation bill is to accommodate funds for the construction of the Port Harcourt Ring Road. He also said the River State Government intends to source the additional money from internal loans and other sources. Interesting. Let's listen to the speaker.
The Security Council reconsidered and ratified the approval for the construction of this road, observed that funding for the project was not captured in the 2023 appropriation law. It became imperative to revise the 2023 appropriation law to make provisions for the funding and the construction of the Port Harcourt Ring Road project. Attached herewith is a supplementary budget for the alteration of the 2023 appropriation law with an additional capital expenditure of 200 billion naira.
All right. Correspondent Toibi Oruwari reports that the House is expected to have a public debate on the supplementary appropriation bill before it is passed. Leader of the House, Edison Ehie, spoke on this.
It introduces a very critical project, which is Port Harcourt Ring Road. And the figure is clear because this is a transparent government and it intends to alter the 2023 appropriation law by inserting 200 billion for the Port Harcourt Ring Road, which brings the total budget now to 744 billion. That is what we have done today, the first reading. And of course, next week we'll take the debate and we'll commit it to committee level where the general public will have cause to make imputes.
All right, so plenary was postponed, adjourned rather, to Monday, which is today. So the Assembly will continue deliberations on the supplementary appropriation bill this morning. Well, today rather. I have questions, naturally. You know, 200 billion is heavy. For government, maybe not so much. But the idea that the supplementary budget needs approval after an actual budget, the Appropriation Act for 2023, was passed at the beginning slash end of last year, is cause for concern. So what did I decide to do? I decided to go and find a person who understands how these things work. Atiku Samuel, a technical coordinator, International Budget Partnership, joins me this morning to talk about supplementary budget. Good morning, Mr. Atiku.
Good morning. Thanks for having me on the program.
Always a pleasure. How are you doing, sir?
I'm doing fine, yeah. I'm doing great.
All right. And how's the capital this morning?
Yeah, the sun is out. So a little bit of rain yesterday, but the sun is out early in the morning. Which starting to mean that everybody seems to be on their feet after the long, I'll call it a long holiday. Friday in Abuja is technically an holiday, although it's not declared officially.
Okay.
Everybody seems to be back on the road.
All right. We're very excited to hear that. So a supplementary budget is the request for additional funds, you know, through the course of the year. It happens where revenue budgets appropriated for activities of government to be carried out in a fiscal year is not sufficient. So it's basically asking for extra money added to the initial money that you ask for. Why do supplementary budgets happen? Why do we find ourselves in such a position where every year at state and federal level, governments are asking for more money?
Well, it's actually a reflection of, I will say, so at the inception, at the beginning of the year, before the beginning of the year, you're supposed to look at a lot of indices. And then based on those indices, which we call models, you project your revenue and then you delineate. You decide, oh, we're going to pull resources here, there and there. And then that forms the core of the budget.
Okay.
But what we've noticed is that, not just peculiar to River State, is that a lot of things can happen. For instance, if you recall in 2020, COVID happened.
Mm.
Meaning that there's a need to actually go back and address those unforeseen expenditure. And so sometimes you have to adjust the budget to make way. Remember, you cannot spend outside the Appropriation Act itself, meaning that you can't, as government, as the executive, you can't begin to do things outside legislative oversight. So essentially, that's one major reason why budgets are amended in between here. Another reason is policy shift. For instance, the beginning of the year, you are thinking of something, then something happened in between the year.
Mm.
In the case of Port Harcourt, for instance, we had government changing. So a new government may come in and then say, oh, I want to prioritize other issues. I'm not interested in these other issues. And then because of that, you could adjust the budget.
Okay.
Third, you could look at revenue shortfall or significant increase in revenue. For instance, if you are projecting your revenue to be like 300 billion, and then all of a sudden you're making like 200 billion, essentially it means that you have to shave off some things. You will not have to invest in something. Ideally, when such situation happens, you're supposed to go back to the legislators and say, okay, we are not going to put money in this phase. We are going to actually invest in other things. And then because of that, you will be adjust the budget. Of course, there could be the other side of things, which seems to be happening now in Nigeria. It stands that, remember, subsidy has been dropped.
Mm.
And because of that, and then exchange rate has been adjusted. So the beginning of this year, remember, the biggest chunk of the River State revenue comes from the oil sector.
That's right.
And when the money comes in, it comes in as dollar. And then if you look at this year's budget, the Federal Federation calculation, they were estimating the exchange rate to be like 450, 460 thereabouts.
Okay.
But now, exchange rate has gone to like 700, meaning that you're making extraordinary gains. Now, you may decide to put the fund in a storage fund, excess crude account, or you may decide to hand that over to state. But I think what has happened the last 2 months is that the gain has been handed over to state. So meaning that you are having more revenue than you estimate you have. So what do you do with that money? It's either you keep it in your safe or you spend it. Again, you may elect to adjust the budget and create new projects to address that. It could also be a phantom of changing priorities. In the case of rivers, we are hearing that the government is talking about the Port Harcourt Ring Road as a priority for it.
That's
and
right.
Then they're pushing that as an agenda. That could be the reason. And of course, the legislators themselves can initiate it themselves. Maybe government is not paying attention to certain things, and or maybe in the course of doing their oversight function, the department of government is not responsive.
Mm-hmm.
Government, the legislators can decide to delete or remove the budget for their agency, and they have the powers to do that. But in practice, it's more complicated than that because some of those agencies are grounded in law. And then there will be a lot of front and back. It could be also a phantom of cost adjustments or cost overall. Remember, we live in an high inflationary environment. Inflation in Nigeria is accelerating. The price of a bag of rice or the bag of, for instance, you're planning to have a basket. And then you are budgeting 20,000 naira for a basket of tomato. But all of a sudden, the price, because of the high inflation, the price of PMS has gone up, all those things have gone up. And it's now 50,000 naira. You know, you have to do some budgetary adjustment.
So,
a couple of things like that that can go on and on and on. So, there are multiple reasons why government are this, which is actually, I'll call it a global best practice for you to do adjustment. It's just as if you're saying, at the beginning of the year, we got our projections wrong. Now, in the middle of the year, we need to take corrective measures. So, admitting that you're wrong and then taking corrective measures in between the year,
It's global best practice itself in budgeting.
Yeah, but Atiku, a consistency in being wrong, it sounds like a red flag. Ever since I started following the news, and I know you would have, you know, a wider scope of knowledge because this is where you work, but ever since I started following the news, I don't know any year the federal government has not passed a supplementary budget. For state, maybe I've not been following states that closely, but it happens every single year. So if these factors that you have listed, which I would term unforeseen circumstances, the people in authority understand that these things could happen, and they happen every year, why is there no one solution for this problem?
Well, you are 100% correct, and that is a budget, what we call it. It doesn't mean that the budget is not credible so that people don't misinterpret it. But in public finance terms, terminologies, we call it budget credibility challenges. And the question is that your projections need to be spot on. In fact, if you look at the PEPFAR framework, the public expenditure, it's more like a World Bank global best practice.
Mm.
A budget is not supposed to deviate plus or minus 5%. Essentially, if you say you are going to make 100 naira, hypothetically, I'm making up the number. It's okay for you to spend 95 naira or 105 naira, but don't go beyond that. Once you go beyond that, it shows clearly that it's a big problem, it's a big red flag. Now, if you drill down to Port Harcourt, for instance, Liberty, and you look closely at the revenue of the state itself, as at October 2022, the state revenue performance was only 42%. I think that after that time, they were actually about 203 billion naira was the revenue they collected, which is about 42% of the total. So if you look at it at the end of the year, what they project that they would collect, they collected less than 60% of it, which creates a very big red flag. Now, the question is that at the end, I'm talking about the end of the year.
Yeah.
In between the year, they've adjusted the budget also. If you look at 2020, if I go back memory, they did the same thing also. So the question is that, is the intent to correct those microeconomic mistakes that they made, or the intent is for political consideration? I think that's where the big problem is. Most times than none, budgets are adjusted for, I'll call it, for political exigencies, not necessarily for emergencies. So essentially, I'm not saying it's not a good thing to build the Port Harcourt Ring Road.
Mm.
Right. But if you look across Nigeria, looking at 33 states, looking at the federal government, most times budgets are adjusted not because they want to actually correct mistakes that they make in the beginning of the year, but to actually accommodate new things that they presume is more of a priority to them. And I can give you a good example.
Well, Atiku, you have to hold on that example. I'm hoping that you still have it after the break. We have a break coming up now. After that, we'll talk some more. Thank you very much. Please stay with us.
We take off with the biggest conversations with an exchange of opinions and ideas on the Morning Crossfire. Settle you into your day when we say hello, Port Harcourt.
Take you on a ride to the sunny side of life.
Hover a bit while picking at the details on hard facts. Take a detour through the exciting world of sports.
And get back on track with Let's Talk.
Land you safely as we chit-chat into the morning on Chat Station.
Chat Station.
And then do it all over again on your number one talk, news and sports radio station, 92.3 Nigeria Info. We are back. This is your number one talk station, Nigeria Info.
This is the Morning Crossfire on 92.3 Nigeria Info.
Yes, indeed, it is the Morning Crossfire. I'm Sam Orokochinedu, and we're talking about the supplementary appropriation bill the state government is seeking to add to the 2023 appropriation law. It has passed first reading. For the deliberation on that is going to happen today. My guest, Atiku Samuel, Technical Coordinator, International Budget Partnership, is still on the phone with me. You're welcome once again, Atiku. Hello, are you there? Hello? No, I hope we haven't lost Hello? Okay, I'll have to... Okay. He definitely is not there. So we'll reconnect with Atiku Samuel and continue with the conversation. But my question for you, while we're hoping to get him back on the phone, is what is your take on the government's constant demand for more money than is captured in the budget? Now, it's important to know that this does not only happen in River State. It happens at the federal level. It also happens in other countries, I believe. Sometime during the course of the year, someone somewhere believes there is need for more money than was captured in the budget. And do you think that your state government's budget is transparent, depending on what your state is and where exactly you're calling from? 0817-923-0002. 0817-923-0003. 0817-923-0007. WhatsApp is 080-903-0646. Facebook and Twitter is at Nigeria Info PH. Hello, good morning.
Sam Chinedu Oracle, Honorable Ida from Nkoro.
Go ahead, Ida.
The past government, she by the president, to create a reversive budget for everywhere. People see it online and everywhere. So I want to comment particularly, but I'm from River State. I will not talk about other states. Our budget, most of them want to pass the budget. You can see they will call everybody, come to House of Assembly, come to social place, and see the budget by yourself. So the budget is everywhere. I want to commend the former River State governor and also this team, Fubara government.
Yeah, but hold on. Hold on. Well. Hello, like hello. Budget.
Thank you very much. God bless you. I'm from Nkoro.
Oh, my. Okay, I wish I could say what I'm thinking. But if wishes were horses, you're welcome back, Atiku.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Yes, indeed.
I'm back, yeah.
Yes, you are back.
Yes.
Okay, so you were making a point before the break, and I obviously had more questions. If you can carry on with what you were saying, if you remember, you were trying to make an example.
Yes, I was just trying to make a good example that when COVID happened, there was a need because, again, the revenue of government was going to tank. It was going down south. So to use the word likely, it's going to reduce because we're not going to sell enough crude oil that we projected. Businesses are most likely struggling. So we're not estimating that businesses will be profitable. And there was a need to adjust the budget. And then they did pass a supplementary budget. But when you look at the final performance of the budget, you will discover that the headliners, right, travels, international travels, and that ideally because of COVID, people should not travel, were actually front-loaded, and then people had spent majority of their budget on travels. So what ended up suffering were budgetary lines for things like roads, things like... Anyway, development per capita project. So where I'm going is that because government adjusts its budget doesn't necessarily mean that it's a positive thing. It's good on paper, but in terms of practice and in terms of outcomes, what we've observed in the 36 states and the federal government is that it has not necessarily led to improvements and the performance of the budget, one.
Okay.
And then number two, also in terms of the outcome that we're seeking to achieve as a country.
Okay. I would obviously ask my question shortly. We have a few calls. Wala calls from HA. Good morning, Wala.
Yeah, good morning, Oracle.
Good morning. Please go ahead.
Yes, I'm talking on supplementary budget.
That's right.
Yes, I think it has been a yearly something in a good government, even in the federal. I think I should commend the new governor.
Okay.
As it is now. Because if we look at the previous 8 years, supplementary government is within the House of Assembly. All we hear is the eyes have it, the hammer is down. I think I will commend Governor Singh for at least accepting to make it public, a public debate, for people to look into it for approval. Oracle, you said initially that, yes, every year that you do hear this.
Yeah.
But My own assertion is this. Yes, whatever. They say take rope, put for neck, goat neck. Take goat neck, put for rope, just the same thing. Let the common man benefit from all these things. The masses are suffering.
All right. Wala. Thank you very much, Wala. Matthew from HA, good morning.
Yeah, good morning.
Good morning. Please go ahead.
I think I want to agree with your guest in the studio that most times this supplementary budget is based on political gains.
Okay.
Fine. In some cases, it might be necessary because of the inflation and other forces that must have cost. But in most cases, let's say, for instance, now, if the oil benchmark was pegged at something like $57, and at the end of the day, it was actually increased from $57 to $70. And I've not heard that there was stop loss in the budget and later carried over to the next year. I've never heard of that. But is all this necessary for a supplementary budget? Even if the benchmark was increased, the oil price was increased rather from the previous benchmark, the budget was made from. You understand what I'm saying?
I do.
So that's just the problem. I'm agreeing with the speaker and to do.
All right, thank you very much, Matthew. Atiku, did you get their questions?
Yes, I think most of the comments. I think I do agree that the ultimate goal of the budget of any state or of a country of a sovereign entity is actually to improve the well-being of residents of that community. Remember, the whole essence of government itself is to do three things. One, to ensure that there's preservation of life, there's freedom of people, freedom itself, which is liberty, and then more importantly, the pursuit of happiness. And that is the fundamental principle upon which I would call it democratic governance is built. Essentially, what I'm saying, big grammar, is that governments are there actually to improve the livelihood of people. And how do you improve people's livelihood? Those are the key outcomes. Ensuring that healthcare systems are strengthened, education is strengthened, make sure that the road infrastructure is better, make sure that the vulnerable, the working poor, the have-nots in society are not left without support, without help. So listening to the comments of people, I think it aligns very well with that, which is something that, yes, 100% agree with. And it's important to say that, yes, if the budget of a country or a state does not, and you presume as the head of that state or head of that government, you presume that definitely the budget itself is deviating and it will make it difficult for you to achieve those set outcomes, then definitely you can adjust it. But where we are going, and I will reinforce this point, is that if you are doing it not because of that, but you have underlining reasons for doing that, then that's where the whole problem comes in. But I think the ultimate thing is that by the end of this year, we will see to what extent the state's budget itself does not deviate significantly from the supplementary budget. If the deviation is massive, then there's a problem.
Okay.
Meaning that you're only introducing new projects when you know that it will be difficult for you to implement it. I think that's the big question.
Okay.
And the second question that needs to be asked, and it's important to ask this, $200 billion to construct a ring road around Port Harcourt sounds fantastic on paper. But the truth is that can it be completed between now and the end of the year? Or are we just padding up the budget to make it look big and then push ahead for political gain? I think those are the contextual questions that legislators themselves need to ask before approving the budget.
Well, I'm sure that's what the deliberation is supposed to handle. But the first person who called, the second person rather, was commending the governor for making it a public debate. Our report actually states that a public debate on the supplementary appropriation bill, you know, is going to happen. When we say public debate in the context of this conversation, how public exactly is this debate supposed to be? How much of an impute, you know, would the public really have?
Yes, ideally,
if you look closely at the IMF framework for participatory governance, and then also you look at the Global Initiative for Fiscal Transparency framework for public participation in budgeting process, ideally, the public should have the ultimate say as to whether a project should get the approval or not. That's the way it's done.
Okay.
And that's the normal practice. So, and how do we do this? It's about feedback. So, the point is this. The point I want to make here is that it's not enough for government to do a PowerPoint presentation and tell people this is what we want to do. And then they listen to questions. They answer 1, 2, 3 questions. And then everybody goes on. But they still continue doing what they are doing. The process of participating public debate involves first listening to the people, itemizing and documenting the concerns of people on the paper, and then reaching out back to them to say, okay, this is the way your feedback has been used to improve this particular. Remember, to construct a ring road around Port Harcourt has environmental impact. It has economic impact. It has environmental impact. And also, there are other contextual impacts also that you need to look. Because one, some properties may have to be destroyed. That's one. Number two, some people's livelihood will have to be moved and all those things. So you need to put all those ones on the table for the people to make their comments.
Okay.
And when they finish making their comments, you now tell them, okay, this is how your feedback has been used in the course of action. And that goes into the final outcome of the budget. So I'm now explaining the ideal situation, but I'm not sure in anywhere in Nigeria we have a robust public participatory system. Even at the national level, I don't think we do have that. So if the state government is trying to implement that across board, I think it's commendable to say yes. I mean, listening to the public and making sure that their input goes into the final outcome of what you are doing, and by extension, getting back to them to tell them this is how your input has been used,
okay.
To encourage them to actually give them more input. I think that's at the heart of democracy. That's at the heart of participatory democracy. So if that is the framework that the government is pushing up to push this through, then that's commendable. But for my own understanding, it's just a public hearing, and when legislators are the ones that sit down to question the commissioner, I don't know whether there's a commissioner, they question the government and the senators, and then you know, what are you doing, ABCD, and then they put cameras there. But the public cannot make direct input. That's not public hearing. That's the practice we have actually particularly we use in Nigeria most often that now. Although the argument will always be that, oh, but legislators are representing the people.
Yeah.
The truth is that the concept of representation goes deeper than that. There are some people that refuse to vote for the first thing that you're talking about because of certain concerns. Their concerns also need to be captured.
Well,
decisions,
Mr. Atiku, what you're proposing is a town hall meeting for every appropriation deliberation, basically. And it will take a long time. Another point is the public might not have knowledge about that sector. For example, let's say the real estate government comes up and says, we want to build an airport, imagining, of course, we don't have an airport, or a stadium. It is open to public deliberation. I don't know how much it takes to build an airport. You don't know as well. The people who will give credible contribution are those in the sector where they understand the price of things, how long the project will take, but it's open to the public. And if I'm giving the opportunity to ask questions, I will very likely say, the $3 billion you want to use and buy the goalposts in the stadium is too expensive. Meanwhile, I may not really understand how things work. So do you see the problem that might come from actually making it as public as we would want it to be?
Exactly, that's exactly why you have a public participatory framework. Then you tell the person, this is the cost of cement, this is the cost of bag, this is the economic impact. I'm not saying that every opinion or every question that the public will ask will get response, but it will be implemented. It's about explaining to people clearly that, I mean, we look at cost. So, for instance, I may decide that why are you building airports? Why subsidy is biting hard. Why are you using the money for airports? Why not use it to give us palliative? Somebody may come up with an opinion. So, the role of government is to explain in clear terms the economic impact of the project that you're embarking on. For instance, if you're building a ring road around Port Harcourt, you're telling people that, it's going to employ this amount of people. yeah, people selling bread by the road, people selling beans by the road, they are going to make this amount of money. The queries very close to Port Harcourt are going to make this amount, or they are going to employ. That's the economic impact assessment. If you look closely at the budget, across the world, in fact, to come for context, if you go to countries like Brazil, they take it extremely hard, right? The government itself does not even prepare budget. It allows the public to prepare the budget. And they just activate it, and then they make sure that it's within a particular framework. Mm-hmm. So, it shows the involvement of people in governance. And then when things fail, we fail together. You know this concept that they say in football, right? We fail together as a team. So we succeed together as a team. So you can't blame me if the public is saying this. Well, I'm not saying that we should adopt everything, but we can actually look at some of those working principles and ensure that, yes, people feel a part of the government. And the way they can feel a part of it, they can feel part that they are part and parcel of a particular government is when they are allowed to make feedback on a particular project and they get response to their project, to their comments.
My next question will be around the funding, but I have a few comments. Livingston Sunjoku from HA says the State Assembly should approve the loan. It will enable the new government to execute said project. And the next one says, where would the Port Harcourt Ring Road be located, even if it would be of any economic benefit to the state, looking at 200 billion naira? Triumph says, the next one, why are callers doing commendation service for people instead of addressing the issues? On this, River State government sought supplementary budgets. I would say, without mincing words, do allegedly the former governor needs something, nothing more. Thank you for pointing this out. Ida obviously does not have an understanding of the conversation, and I was looking to ask him a few questions before he ran away. Calling to commend the government for making the budget public is very different from our conversation this morning. Good morning, Sam. I think the supplementary budget doesn't sound well to me. Is there anything new that they want to include in the budget that they forgot before? Let the assembly be up and doing by rejecting the bill. It should leave supplementary budget till next year. Round face from Rumi Kinney. Okay, so let's talk about funding, Mr. Atiku. This report states that the money would be gotten from internal loans and other sources. I'm not quite sure what source is, but, you know, some borrowing will happen. We also know at the federal level, most times when there's a supplementary budget seeking approval, there's also some borrowing. Oh, we'll borrow from here to fund this. Why can the IGR, and I kind of already know the answer to this, but I really want to hear, why are these projects not funded by the IGR?
Yes, I think you asked a very powerful question. Remember in 2022, last year, River State had dragged the federal government to court about the VAT concept. And the budget for last year was predicated on the fact that they would start receiving most of those value-added tax components. I think the case is still at the Supreme Court. Very limited media attention around that case now because election season is great. I mean, immediately before the election season, we had a lot of noise about it. Then the election came in.
Yeah.
And then you have to foster this concept of national unity. So it was one way or the other, it went under the carpet. I think that's one key thing. For Rivers, I mean, the truth is that I would like to put this now so that I'm not offending other states. River State, the capabilities itself, I won't say capacity, the capabilities of River State to increase its revenue significantly is very high.
Okay.
And that's the truth. It's very high. That's one. Number two, remember, subsidy has been dropped.
Yeah.
And when you drop subsidy, what happened is that the revenue of state has gone up significantly. I mean, you had the president actually did mentioning something like that, I think in Lagos, over the weekend, that the state government's revenue had gone up because of subsidy removal. That's another big bulk of money. And that said also, the other VAT components, like company income tax and other things like that, have also gone up.
Yeah.
And because of exchange rate variability also, remember, what the budget was predicated on exchange rate of 450, 455 before. Now we are doing like 750. That gain itself is called exchange rate gain. So, essentially, one would think that River State government is looking at these excess funds, this excess slush of funds, and they want to actually, rather than keep it in the bank, they want to plow it into putting up a very good infrastructure across the state to boost up the economy of the state. But that seems not to be the case. I think the state is also looking at borrowing more. And that begs the big question. Why should the state be borrowing funds as at this time when it has not carefully ascertained and the long-term implication of that borrowing? Remember, the federal government now, the reason why people are paying almost 400, 300 times what they used to pay as transportation, you can link it back to the fact that the federal government was borrowing funds heavily without having any plan on how to actually raise up revenue. We have gotten to a point whereby it looks like if the federal government was tilting towards bankruptcy. So, essentially, you don't want the River State to fall into that big pool also. So that's why, yes, it needs to be scrutinized. Where are you getting this money from? How are you going to repay back this debt? Understanding also that the world is also, remember, the biggest chunk of River State revenue comes from the oil sector.
Indeed.
And the world is moving towards net zero, right? The world, hopefully by 2030, a lot of things will happen in the world in terms of whether we continue to use PMS, petrol, gasoline, to power our car. Remember, the oil of River State is light in nature. And the desirability of that crude oil is because of its light nature, meaning that it's easy to convert it to petrol for powering cars and then for jet fuel. Why, of course? But now, 2030, a lot of countries in Europe are saying that they are going to ban sales of PMS-powered cars, meaning that people should flow into electric. And then a lot of conversation around even bringing back nuclear power. If you look at the UK, there's a tough conversation around it. So the long-term implication for River State is that the state may not make the money it's making from crude oil in the next... I mean, 2030 is when?
7 years.
2023 already. We are moving to 2024. We are talking about 6 years, 7 years' time.
Yeah.
So if you are taking up a long-term loan and then you don't have plan on how to raise up your domestic resources yourself without those oil components, then it begs the question, what happens in 7 years' time? How will the state survive in 7 years' time? So that's why all those things will have been put into consideration. And then people need to ask questions. Even this ring road that we're talking about, is the state going to put toll on it to actually generate revenue? And would that be desirable, given the fact that people are already paying too much again for transportation costs? So all those things need to be discussed, as it were, before actions are taken. But the government seems to have their own argument on one side that they are pushing ahead with this. I think it's for the public to look closely at the information they've provided and then see whether it makes sense to them.
I have a break coming up in 3 minutes. I think I can take one call with that time. But what I can tell you, Atiku, is for the 2030 project, there are two things that can save us. One, the world will have to calm down, maybe push it to 2050. Or, as usual, we'll put our hope and faith in God. Okwando calls from Irebe. I lost that call. Please call back if you can. 0817923-0002. A few comments on Facebook. I think I'll take those. Governor Fubara submitting $200 billion supplementary budget is a welcome development because this will help him run an all-inclusive government. Living in St. Joko says the loan should be approved. Interesting. All right, I'll quickly take this. Hello, good morning.
Hello, Sam, good morning.
Good morning. You have a minute. Please go ahead.
This is Mabel, the Africa woman.
All right.
You see, Sam, there is nothing wrong with supplementary budget, especially when you plan a particular amount for something and the prices have changed and then the things have changed. Mm. But my greatest concern is, how will you reach the people? Now you're talking of calling people sick. How can you reach the people? Now, in our rest, we have half of assembly members. These are people that we have appointed ourselves to speak for us, to intervene and all these things for us. What is their place there? Are they not supposed to go ahead and look at these things, then come back and communicate with us, the people? Now, you're telling us that you want to take loan, you want to do this, you want to do that. It's okay. But now, in your supplementary budget, will you explain to us what and what you use for this money? Will you be a capital project? Will you be us? What kind of projects you want to do with this money? Will you explain this thing to us? But I think it will be so crowded, see people, call everybody. Let our House of Assembly members, these are people we have elected, we have appointed, let them go ahead and do this and then come back and communicate with us. If it's okay that way, then fine by me. Thank
you. All right. Oh, thank you very much, Mira. That's exactly how it is supposed to be. Plenary has been adjourned to today, and we expect that deliberations on that budget, you know, will follow through. So let's see what the lawmakers you and I voted in will do for us. Atiku, we have to take that break now. After that, you give us the sustainable solution to the supplementary budget. I was going to say menace, but it's a basic part of how things work. So I'll change that to say, I don't know. After the break, we'll talk some more. Please stay with us.
The right information,
the right topic of interest,
and the right conversation.
I had the Minister for Information, and he was trying to rationalize why the NLC should not go on strike now.
So one of the challenges at Africa, there's a lot of poverty and there's a lot of illiteracy.
Let's talk
on Nigeria Info.
You're tuned to your number one talk station, Nigeria Info.
Welcome back to the show.
This is the Morning Crossfire on 92.3 Nigeria Info.
Welcome back. We're down to the final minutes of the Morning Crossfire this morning. Back to you, Atiku. Hello, are you there?
Yes, I am right here.
All right. So conclusively, finally, what is a lasting solution to the supplementary budget issue?
I think, yes. I think the first thing government needs to, I mean, the model, when the beginning of the year, or let's say the end of the year, when you're projecting for the new year,
yeah.
I think there's a need to have a robust conversation around existing projects, look closely at it, and ensure that the most important projects are prioritized and they're already within the budget phase itself. I mean, within the budget frame itself. Okay. Your revenue are well projected. You do your projections of your revenue appropriately. Then, importantly, you look at the long-term implication of actions you're about to take.
All right.
So, I mean, it's not enough for you to look at 4 years and then draw conclusions. I think that's number one. Number two, even within the budget itself, before you go into borrowing, you look at cost-saving measures. Remember, subsidy is removed because government is looking to save cost.
Mm.
But the question is that, within government itself, what are being removed to free up more funds that can be spent on developmental capital projects. So there's a need to look internally and look at where you can cut costs before you begin to borrow. Borrowing should always be the last resort that government should take.
All right.
You can have those three building blocks guiding how you prepare your budget and how you implement your budget through, I think definitely a lot of things will change in the country.
Okay.
I mean, for context, a lot of people still spend, in fact, most pregnant women, for instance, in Nigeria, 10.6 million pregnant women, commute on average 12 kilometers to the nearest clinic to them, despite the fact that we have clinics floating out of our place.
All right.
So the big question is that, to what degree have we shifted, have we moved that, have we moved the delivery to it, have we improved outcomes for those people?
Okay,
so I think we should put people at the heart of our planning, and with that, I'm sure a lot of things will begin to correct itself in Nigeria.
Thank you. Thank you very much. We truly appreciate your time. It's always wonderful speaking with you. Have yourself a wonderful day, sir.
Thank you so much for and the opportunity to also be on the program. Thanks so much.
It was a pleasure. Atiku Samuel there, Technical Coordinator at International Budget Partnership.